Picture the widest airplane that has ever flown. Not the longest, not the heaviest. The widest, wingtip to wingtip, it measures 385 feet. That is longer than a football field, including both end zones, with room to spare. It has two fuselages, side by side, joined by one enormous wing, six engines, 28 wheels on the ground. And when it takes off from the Mojave Desert, people stop their cars on the highway to watch, because your brain genuinely argues with your eyes about whether a thing that big should be in the air at all. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct today. We are talking about the Stratolaunch Rock, the airplane that was supposed to launch rockets into space, watched that mission evaporate, and then found a second life doing something almost nobody predicted. Let's break this down. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones, first solo, private pilot instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey in something you can hold in your hand and set on the bar, beautifully made and built to last. That's AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the why, because the airplane only makes sense once you understand the problem it was built to solve. Getting to space is a fight against two things, gravity and air. When a rocket lifts off from a pad on the ground, it burns an enormous amount of fuel just clawing through the thick lower atmosphere at low speed, straight up, fighting drag the whole way. Those first few miles are the most expensive miles in all of spaceflight. So engineers have asked a question for decades. What if you didn't start from the ground? What if you carried the rocket up to 40,000 feet first, above most of the atmosphere's mass, already moving at a few hundred miles an hour, and lit the engine there? That's air launch. And the idea is genuinely elegant. You skip the thickest air. You get altitude and speed for free from a reusable airplane instead of burning rocket propellant to get it. And here's the part pilots love. You're not tied to a launch pad. Your launch pad has wings. It can fly to wherever the weather is good, point in whatever direction the orbit needs, and release. Weather scrubs kill rocket launches constantly. An airplane can just fly around the weather. The concept isn't new. Back in the 1940s, the Bell X-1 that broke the sound barrier was dropped from the belly of a B-29. The X-15, the fastest crewed airplane ever built, was carted up under the wing of a B-52 and released. Air launch has deep roots in this exact desert. Here's what most people miss, though. Those were small research airplanes. To air launch something big enough to reach orbit, you need a carrier aircraft on a scale that had never been built. And that is where the rock comes from. The company was Stratolaunch, founded in 2011 by Paul Allen, the Microsoft co-founder, working with Burt Rutan's Scaled Composites, the same Mojave shop behind Spaceship One. Allen's vision was straightforward and huge: build the largest airplane in the world, purely as a flying launch pad, and use it to sling rockets and spaceplanes into orbit on demand. Now, how do you build an airplane that enormous without spending 20 years designing every part from a blank sheet? You raid the parts bin. And this is my favorite engineering detail in the whole story. Stratolaunch bought two used Boeing 747 airliners, and they cannibalized them. The six engines on the Rock are Pratt and Whitney turbofans pulled from those 747s, the landing gear, the cockpit avionics, a lot of the systems, all 747 heritage, proven hardware, already certified, already understood. Then they built a brand new composite airframe around those parts. Two fuselages, because a single fuselage that could carry the load would have been heavier and harder than just running two slender bodies in parallel and hanging the payload in the middle. The pilots fly from the right-hand fuselage. The left fuselage has no crew at all. It's there for structure and balance. Let that sit for a second. There is a cockpit-shaped nose on the left side of that airplane with nobody in it, ever. The wing spanning the two bodies is the longest wingspan of any aircraft in history. Bigger than the Spruce Goose, Howard Hughes's old record holder, by a wide margin. Empty, the Rock weighs around 500,000 pounds. Fully loaded, it was designed for a maximum takeoff weight approaching 1.3 million pounds. And the difference between those two numbers, roughly 800,000 pounds, that's fuel and payload. That's the rocket you're carrying. The airplane first flew in April of 2019, right here at Mojave, and it flew well. The test pilots reported it handled honestly, predictably, like a big airplane should. That's a real achievement. Nothing about a machine that shape is guaranteed to be pleasant to fly. But here's where the story turns, and where I want to be honest with you, because this show doesn't hype things that didn't pan out. The data tells an interesting story, and it isn't the one Stratolaunch set out to write. Paul Allen died in October of 2018, 6 months before his airplane ever left the ground. And the launch rocket business the Rock was built to serve, it changed underneath it. When Stratolaunch was conceived in 2011, getting to orbit was expensive and slow, and everybody was hunting for a cheaper path. By the time the airplane flew in 2019, SpaceX had learned to land rockets and fly them again. The economics of just launching from the ground had shifted dramatically. Reusable boosters coming back and landing on their tails undercut a lot of the cost advantage that air launch was supposed to deliver. So the giant airplane flew, and the mission it was built for had quietly walked away. For a while, it wasn't clear the Rock had any future at all. The company was sold, restructured, and a lot of people in aviation wrote it off as a beautiful, expensive answer to a question the market had stopped asking. And this is the pattern I want you to notice, because it repeats all through aerospace history. The airplane was sound. The engineering was sound. The business case was the thing that failed. Those are different failures, and pilots should never confuse them. So what saved it? A pivot, and a smart one. The new Stratolaunch looked at what they actually had. They had the world's largest airplane capable of carrying an 800,000-pound payload up to 40,000 feet and releasing it into clean, fast, high-altitude air. If orbit wasn't the market anymore, what was? Hypersonics. Here's the context. A hypersonic vehicle is anything flying faster than about Mach 5, five times the speed of sound. The United States military decided over the last several years that it had fallen behind on hypersonic weapons and hypersonic research, and it needed to test vehicles in that speed regime over and over, cheaply and often. And testing hypersonics is brutally hard. You need to get a vehicle up to enormous speed in real air, at real altitude, gather data, and do it again next month, not next year. Stratolaunch built a vehicle for exactly that. It's called Talon A. It's a small, rocket-powered autonomous test airplane, roughly 28 feet long, designed to be carried up by the Rock, dropped and then accelerate past Mach 5 on its own rocket motor. It gathers hypersonic flight data, and the reusable versions are meant to glide back down and land on a runway like an airplane, so you can refurbish them and fly them again. The Rock becomes the launch platform it always was. It just launches hypersonic test vehicles now instead of orbital rockets. Same airplane, same air launch logic, completely different payload and a completely different customer. And that customer is the Department of Defense, which has deep pockets and a genuine urgent need. And it's working. In 2024, Stratolaunch dropped a Talon A vehicle from the Rock and flew it under rocket power. In late 2024 and into 2025, they flew Talon A test vehicles that reached hypersonic speeds, gathered data for the military's testing programs, and critically recovered the vehicle to fly again. The company has talked about turning these around and reflying them, which is the whole point. Reusable hypersonic testing at a cadence the country hasn't had before. So let's do the honest pros and cons, because that's what this segment is for. On the promise side, air launch genuinely does give you altitude, speed, and flexibility for free, and for hypersonic testing that flexibility is worth a lot. You can carry a heavy vehicle, drop it in clean air away from the ground, and fly on your schedule, not the weather's. Reusability on both ends, the carrier airplane and increasingly the test vehicle, drives costs down and cadence up. And the parts bin engineering, the 747 engines and systems, that was a legitimately clever way to build something unprecedented on top of proven hardware. On the problem side, be clear-eyed. This is one airplane. There's exactly one Rock in existence. That's a single point of failure for an entire program. Its sheer size limits where it can operate. Very few runways in the world can even handle it. And the original orbital dream, the reason this behemoth exists, never happened, which is a permanent reminder that a brilliant machine can outlive its own business plan. The pivot to hypersonics is real, and it's flying, but it's a defense research niche, not the vast commercial space launch market Paul Allen imagined. Who's building this world? Alongside them? Stratolaunch isn't the only one chasing air launch. Northrop Grumman flies Pegasus, a rocket dropped from a modified airliner, and has for decades. Virgin Orbit tried a 747-based system and went bankrupt. Another reminder of how hard the business is. And the whole hypersonic testing push includes companies like Rocket Lab and others building suborbital testbeds. Stratolaunch's edge is simply that nobody else has an airplane that big, that reusable, that can carry that much. Here's my honest timeline read. The Rock is flying now today doing real hypersonic test work under government contracts. That part is not vaporware. It's on the schedule and hitting milestones. Whether it grows into a larger fleet, whether Talon evolves into bigger vehicles, whether Air Launch ever again seriously competes for orbit, those are open questions. I'd watch the next couple of years of test cadence. If they can fly these vehicles often and recover them reliably, this airplane will have quietly found the most useful decade of its life, long after everyone counted it out. And there's a lesson in that I keep coming back to. We celebrate airplanes for their missions, but the Rock is a reminder that a well-engineered airframe is an asset all by itself. Build something genuinely capable, and the world may find a use for it that its own creators never saw coming. My thanks to Stratolaunch for the flight test details, and to the reporting from Aviation Week and the Aerospace Press that has tracked this airplane from its first taxi tests to its hypersonic drops. You can find more of what we cover over at RadioHangar.com. Next time you see a picture of that impossible twin-bodied machine lifting off the desert, you'll know it isn't a curiosity. It's a launch pad with wings, still looking for the edge of space. I'm Vector. Keep asking how things work.